right, everybody, welcome back to Karma is a Pod. Karma's a Pod.
Karma's a Pod.
There we go.
Karma's a Pod.
What's this?
You say it three times a week here in your living room.
What's going on here? What's
something
happening?
Something crazy. A switcheroo.
A switcheroo.
As they say.
That only can happen on this show. So
yeah.
If you're a little shocked, you know.
Only relevant to our video listeners, but we've swapped up our locations a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with Ramal in studio. Annie is...
And I am in the separate box. I am in the floating nebulous box.
And that's
yes.
Okay.
I am elsewhere.
Jesus, elsewhere.
Maybe one day I will be lucky enough to be in the box.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll see, and you guys can do it together.
Maybe the box is a punishment. Maybe you'll be banished to the box.
Maybe you'll be banished.
So yes, Zach...
Ramal.
And I'm Annie.
Yeah, there we go. That was smooth.
Nice introduction of all three of us. The Torture Triumvirate.
The Torture Triumvirate is back.
Yes.
Okay.
Back and better than ever.
This is not
yeah.
the first episode, which may surprise
no.
you if this is the first episode
yeah.
that
yeah.
you're tuning into.
We're old hats at this.
But we are
yeah,
back
exactly.
after a bit
We're
of
already...
a hiatus. Ramal
yeah.
has been internationally traveling.
Yes, traveling as a Swiftie, and that has been really fun. I went to Liverpool night one, which was super, super cool, because it was also the 100th show on the Eras Tour. I definitely clowned a little bit too hard in terms of thinking that something crazy was going to happen, but I feel like it was a valid clowning, because it was the 100th show, and it was cool. Like, I mean, she talked about it being the 100th show and all of that, but it definitely didn't have the crazy shenanigans of the London shows, but it was still, like, the best time ever. Very, very, very cool. And yeah, it was just the most fantastic experience, and I'm really, really, really glad that I did it.
Yeah, why don't you go a little bit further into what it was like
yeah.
to see the Eras Tour internationally?
Yeah, so it was just, like, from the moment I got there, it felt like the energy was in the air. You know, like, Liverpool is a bit of a residential town area, so people actually do live there and go about their lives. But you could definitely see all of the Swifties because it was just like litter everywhere and people carrying around the VIP merch and stuff like that. So the town was definitely prepared and they did a really great job doing all of the Taylor related stuff. Like you would see like the fonts of her albums like red on like a sign on a random building in like Taylor Town and all of that. They were really dedicated. It was super, super cool. It was very cold, which was unexpected. I was really sad about that. It got better when the concert started, though, but yeah, it was cold and raining, like, all day, and people who live there told me that that's not normal, like, it's been warmer before. So yeah, we were all out in our ponchos and stuff. One of the stores I went to, they sold out of all the clear ponchos, which, valid, because I think everyone was trying to do the same thing. But yeah, it was an absolutely incredible show, electric, as they say. It was really cool to see the Tortured Poets Department because, you know, the show that we saw in Chicago was without
yeah.
that. So yeah, to see the whole changed up set list, the show felt very new and very fresh. And also, what was really cool was, like, I was in general admission, so I ended up, like, either the third or fourth row, so I had a pretty incredible view. It was really awesome to see everything head on, like, for example, being able to see the Midnight Rain costume change, like, from straight on was super awesome. And yeah, she made it down the stage, like, multiple times, which was really surreal. Like, she would come, people would be like, oh my god, she's there, and it was a very surreal, like, oh my god, that's a real person type feeling. Yeah.
What
so,
were your surprise songs?
Okay, so yeah, the surprise songs were, the first one was a mashup with I Can See You and Mine, and as a Mine stan from 2011, I was extremely happy. I love that song, everything about that song I love. I also love I Can See You, and it was really cool that she did that because she filmed the music video in Liverpool. So that was just, it was great.
Oh, really?
And,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, she did, so that's why she said something, I think, in the speech. She was like, before she sang the song, she was like, because of Liverpool or whatever. And so that was the first mashup. And then the second mashup on the piano was Cornelia Street and Maroon, which was also super cool because I love, 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 love Cornelia Street. And I think Maroon is a really good mashup with that. And she loves playing Maroon. Like, she's played that, I think, almost as much as You're On Your Own Kid. So yeah, and the surprise songs were all the way down on the T part of the stage, so that was super cool, as in, like, that part of the show was just so visible, so yeah, that was just surreal and really, really, really awesome. Yeah.
I would like to say that
yeah.
in the last episode where we talked about, the mashups and, you know, what we'd like to see as a potential mashup, I did say I Can See You in Mine because the opening is so similar.
Yeah.
So it's very cool that you got to see that live, and I... I can verify that Ramal has been standing mine for many, many years. So when I saw that that was the song, I was like, oh my god, she is going to be freaking out.
Yeah.
I also am wondering if, I know we talked a little bit about, sorry, Zach. You can go. God. Okay.
Oh, really? No, you continue.
I'm wondering, we talked a little bit about whether the mashups are musical or thematic, and I sort of felt like the first mashup with I Can See You In Mine was musical, and I feel like the second mashup with Cornelia Street and Maroon was thematic. You know, it's like they're both songs kind of about breakups in New York, you know.
Right.
Makes me wonder what, you know, if Maroon is not about, you know, maybe the people that we thought it was in the past, you know. Maybe it's the same subject as Cornelia Street. I don't know.
Right.
But
it's interesting
that those were put together.
Yeah, like, it's interesting that the songs from the two albums, like, because Maroon is from Midnights and then Cornelia Street is from Lover, and sort of the narrative settings that they find themselves in, I think it was an interesting, like, I would not have predicted a Cornelia Street and Maroon mashup, because they don't even necessarily, like, ring the same sonically, but thematically, yes, they do sort of have the same thing of, like, two people together and being pulled apart by certain forces, even though Cornelia Street is kind of the one where they come back together while, or I guess there's a promise to be together forever in Cornelia Street while there isn't in Maroon. It's like a prolonged, like, I've accepted the loss. So it's interesting to put those two songs together, yeah.
I very much agree with the idea of thematic versus musical. I think Swifties love Maroon. I feel like what's one sentiment I've seen is probably one of the favorite songs on Midnights. And then Cornelia Street is obviously basically considered a classic at this point when it comes to Taylor fans.
Yes.
And the mine and I Can See You mashup is very, are the mashups longer than regular songs?
I would say maybe somewhat, depending on, like, how much of the song she wants to put in.
Right,
but
exactly.
Usually she cuts out whatever the second song is, so she sings part of it and then goes back to the same track, so it's not, like,
gotcha.
Two new song lengths.
So she's, okay, that's cool. Well, that's really cool, and, again, I think that I Can See You, that's a great song. I just want to put that out there. That's a really good song. It's a little bit different production-wise than a lot of other Taylor's music. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of it. But that's a really cool mashup. That's a really cool.
I was going to say, I think it's a sign that I should become, like, make Speak Now my number one album, because when I went to Reputation in 2018, the surprise song was Speak Now, which I remember screaming, like, while filming, like, Annie, it's Speak Now, because I know Annie loves that song, and it was really, really cool. So, seems like there's a theme here. I'm now trying to remember what songs she played at our show. She did the ones with Mary Morris, and then, of course, I Want to Live Forever. So we've had some really good surprise song experiences. And it's also cool when the... you go ahead. I was just
go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think, like, surprise songs, too, like, if you get one that you didn't necessarily hear before, it can, like, make you love that song. Because for the one I went to in Houston, she did You're Not Sorry from Fearless, which I'd never listened to before. But then became a You're Not Sorry stand after, because it was such a good performance live. It was really, really excellent.
That also felt like, I mean, that was one of the ones early on where it felt like she had very pointedly selected that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of an interesting thing to see live. I mean, it was interesting that we also saw I Don't Want to Live Forever, because notoriously, you know, that was a teary performance, and that was kind of got a lot of attention in the fandom, I think.
Yeah.
Question for you, Ramal. What about when it comes to the TTPD part of the set?
Right.
What surprised you?
Oh, I guess there was one thing that surprised me, and I kind of understand it, but, like, she, to include TTPD, definitely cut down some of the songs in terms of, like she's done in other parts of the show, but I was surprised at her choices of, like, which one she did in full versus which one she skipped. Like, the Daddy, I Love Him, she definitely skipped, I think, the second verse and went straight into, like, the bridge and the chorus and the bridge. And then, like, So High School was pretty short. It's, like, practically, like, 30 seconds of the show. Like, she just does, like, the truth, dare, spin, bottle, part. Versus, like, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, she does the full one, I think, and then Fortnite, she does the full one. So, I guess my one thing, which is probably just me being selfish as a fan, is that I would have liked more of the full performances of the songs, because I love The Daddy, I Love Him, and The Smallest Man You Ever Lived, and both of those are cut a little bit shorter, but I understand why, because it's already such a long show that she, even with cutting stuff, has to, like, cut that thing that's being added to make sure that it doesn't, like, expand past 4 hours or something like that. But it was, I think what I loved the most was the visuals. And I think that sort of relates to, like, how good the Fortnite music video visuals were.
Yes.
That the set visuals are also just so perfect and really, really good. Like, the Fortnite song, she has that dancer, like, play the other part. And they have these, like, moments where they, like, lean all the way towards each other. And just, it's, like, very visually cool. And it sort of mimics the music video. Like, I think he's sort of playing the Post Malone type character. And that was, like, incredible also to see, like, dead on. And same with Down Bad in the spaceship. And she's, like, moving around, like, a little
nice.
I wish I could see that. That's awesome that you got to
yeah.
see that. Yeah.
It was super cool. And she sings
and
it so
she's floating
well.
Around all over the place, so she probably came kind of close to you.
She didn't come close to us for Down Bad, but Daddy, I Love Him was, like, a jump scare because she left, like, because the surprise song thing has changed, right? So she doesn't, like, just walk out like that now. So, well, anyways, the thing is, she basically, what did she do? So she gets off the stage, and then she popped up, like, right in front of us for
oh,
Daddy, I Love Him. Like, she rises, like,
oh,
right there.
She comes
there
from below.
Edge. Yes, and it was, like, I didn't
gotcha.
Know that, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's right there. And then she goes into the Daddy, I Love Him, and she's, like, singing it as she's, like, running in front of us. And that was so cool. It is such a good song, too.
Mm.
And everyone was just vibing out. It was just absolutely perfect. It was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, should we move on to another topic? I think Anna's
yeah.
got some topics
yeah,
that she'd
I mean,
like
well,
to discuss.
It's connected, but,
yes.
you know, obviously Ramal was at the 100th show, and one of the most significant things to come out of that show was that Taylor did officially, it seems, confirm that the tour is going to end. It's not going to be expanded again.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm wondering what you guys think about that. I think, personally, personally felt that she was going to end it in December. I mean, I know she's extended it a few times and expanded it several times, but I kind of feel like this was going to be the end. Zach, I know had a different opinion, so I think, you know, there are probably mixed opinions on whether this was a surprise or not.
I thought that she was going to expand it one more time. That's just what I thought. I don't think so anymore. I think that she's pretty much all but confirmed. I think she basically has confirmed it. Which, listen, you can't be on tour forever. So, I don't know. I mean, you can't do this tour forever. You gotta change it up, move on to something else. I don't know what her next creative endeavor will be. But this tour has definitely been her artistic triumph of her career.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
question.
And I
no
think...
question.
I think with such a career-defining and career-spanning tour, I think my sense was always that when this tour ended, she was going to take a break from touring for at least a few years. I'm curious if you guys feel the same way or think that, you know, she'll be back on another single album tour or if she'll ever even do one of those again. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that she loves touring so much that I think it... And especially, like, with the pandemic and not being able to play, I think that's part of why she's, like, been so good, or like, why she's expanded it now to, like, 150 shows for this tour. And so I do think, like, I think there's such a big difference between, I guess, the Eras tour and a tour for a single album, just in terms of length and all of the considerations that you need to have. Like, this is a massive undertaking of, like, 11 albums now that she has to consider in, like, creating a show. And I think... that she would definitely, I feel like she would be open if she released an album in like 2025 or something like that to doing a tour. I actually saw some rumors today about a TS12 album and tour in 2026, which again, I feel like the thing with her is that people always like feel like at one point she's gonna stop being superhuman and like stop having that superhuman level of productivity, and she always surprises you. So at this moment, I'm more inclined to believe that like anything is possible because I think she's just always writing. I totally think she's definitely written some stuff for TS12, and maybe even recorded it.
She is always writing, and that won't stop.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, you know, it'll be interesting for her because I will tell you one thing that I can tell you for sure is going to happen. Taylor will have some kind of post-tour low point in terms of, like, she's going to be like, what am I going to do with my life now? It's like planning a wedding, and then the wedding happens, and then you sort of have this post-wedding, like, what do I do with my hands now? So she'll be in a very interesting...
she's been in a period of such extreme productivity that, you know, it'll be interesting. Especially
she's going to be in a weird space.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about
this, too. It'll be interesting to see how that will affect
her
creativity.
Yeah, what did you want to ask?
I wanted to ask you guys if you think that she's going to release both Rep TV and Debut TV well, or at least announce them while the tour is still going on, now that we know that there's only about 6 months left of tour, or if we now think that maybe one of those will come after the tour. Mm-hmm. My personal theory is that I think that Rep is going to still get announced this summer. Mm-hmm. My theory is the second batch of London shows, and I think maybe she will announce Taylor Swift debut Taylor's version on the final show of tour. That's my personal theory, because I think she'll want to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to hear what you guys think.
I like your theory. I think just to play in with the Eras situation, she should release or at least announce them while the tour is still happening, because that's kind of part of the Eras tour, the reclaiming of her albums and totally. the history of her music. So I think it would just play really well to incorporate the final two re-records mm-hmm. into the tour.
Yeah, I definitely think Reputation Taylor's version is for sure happening, like, on the tour and getting released on the tour. Just because I feel like it has to, given, like, Speak Now in 1989. But I do actually agree with Annie. I think that debut would be a good thing to announce on the last show. Because I also feel like it'd be interesting. Well, she could do it earlier, because then she could add, like, one debut song to the show. Because I know she, like, debuts off of the set list currently. But I think it's also really nice to make it, like, a little bit opening of, like, coming back to the beginning as she finishes this, like,
totally.
Massive accomplishment.
It's totally full circle.
Yes.
I'm going to make a prediction right here, right now.
Okay.
Right here, right now, because if I'm right...
You mean like I just did 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
I'm going to make a prediction right here, right now.
Yeah.
Debut, Taylor Swift, Taylor's version is going to be different than all the other Taylor's versions. It is going to be an acoustic version of the album. She's going to release acoustic versions of the songs.
Like for the main album?
For the main album, yes.
Okay.
That it's going to be
not like as a bonus. She's not
going to
do...
No, it's going to be an acoustic rendering of Taylor Swift, the album. That is my prediction.
If Zach turns out to be right, our podcast is going viral for sure, because no one else is predicting
this.
No one else is predicting this.
I do not
I'm
predict this either.
There.
I mean, I think we're getting both Teardrops on Our Guitar album and radio play version. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One is more acoustic than the other. But
Yeah,
we'll see. That's certainly interesting. I mean, my biggest question is whether the twang is coming back.
We'll see.
Debate the merits of the twang.
That will be a discussion for another time, for sure.
Yeah.
So, one other thing notable in the tour that's happened recently is obviously Travis Kelce's Grand Eras Tour debut. I personally think that it was very strategic to make it in London. And I kind of thought it was hilarious that she did it in London because, you know, as we know, the blokes warm the benches. She has a long history with London and London boys, plural. And I think bringing this first American boyfriend in, who knows how long, you know, debuting him on the stage in London kind of felt like a fun full circle moment. What were you guys' thoughts about Travis's performance debut?
I was just thinking to myself, like, wow, he's got acting chops, because I thought he did a really good job, and, like, actually, for real, because I was like, he fit in really well with the dancers, and I think his whole vibe just fit so well with that whole, like, sort of interlude when, before she starts, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I also just thought it was hilarious, like, the whole weekend was just wild, of, like, us getting that picture, the selfie that Taylor took with Prince William and Charlotte and George and Travis, and he's in the background, him also wearing the USA hat with the Olympics on it was really funny, and then, him showing up on stage, what I thought was particularly hilarious was that everyone was so focused, like, I saw people tweeting about that on the Gracie Abrams, like her disappearing from the VIP tent to go sing the surprise song, that no one thought to think about where Travis was and what he was
Travis
doing.
Travis had disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are saying, I don't know if this is true, but I've seen like a video that he was like hiding underneath a willow cloak to like get to the stage, and I think that's really funny if he was doing that. Like, man is dedicated
to his
job.
He's so large. He just could not hide.
Yeah.
He's so large.
Tall.
I don't think you can... I don't think you can fit that man in the mop cart. I'm sorry. I just don't think so.
He would not fit in the mop cart, so they had to figure out an alternative way to get him up to the stage. I will say the him being up there and the way he went about it just sort of reaffirmed everything I thought about him already. Joyful guy, wants to engage with her, wants to be part of her art, you know, wants to be in the spotlight. And yeah. He looked like he was having a lot of fun. He looked like he was having an authentic time. He looked like he belonged in that situation. And he looked like he was really happy to represent and rep his girl. And as you said, mm-hmm. on his little podcast, that's my girl or whatever. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was kind of fawning over
yeah,
her
I did.
In the podcast.
Of course
which was
we
very,
saw it.
Which was very
you have
cute.
To ask us if we saw it.
It was very cute. It was a very cute moment.
No, I agree. It's just, it shows how far she's come and we've come. Like, imagining any time in the past decade, you know, that she would have brought one of her partners out on the stage, especially a non-musical partner, is I never would have guessed it before this,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, it was cool. It was a cool surprise.
Yeah, I mean, his energy was really great, and I think he's an excellent hype man, as in, like, he did it perfectly, and I think everyone, like, absolutely lost their minds, which was just also a great, like, part of the show. And I think people, it happens right before surprise songs, like, I Can Do It with Broken Hearts, and people were, like, jarred, and then comes out A Gracie Abrams with Us, which, by the way, I know we won't talk about it in this pod, but it's a great song, and we should talk about it in the
future.
It's
really good.
It's
yeah,
really, really
it's
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Just one more little topic of conversation. Something a little bit more controversial.
Mr. Controversy himself.
Mr. Controversy himself. That's
over
me.
There. Yeah,
that's
Justin.
Me. That's my title now. I lean into it, guys.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shortage of people who come after Taylor, but kind of a surprising situation recently where someone who kind of had a relationship with Taylor decided to sort of come at her, which was Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. He was on stage at a Foo Fighters concert talking, brings up Taylor, you know, sort of talks about her, you know, don't mess with Taylor Swift, yada yada. Unfortunately, the crowd booed, so the crowd at the Foo Fighters concert, definitely not Swifties, although there is probably more overlap between fans than that those boos would make it seem. Like myself, I like the Foo Fighters plenty.
Hey, I was at Foo Fighters at Jazz Fest.
And he saw the Foo Fighters at Jazz Fest.
We're
and they're
diehard Swifties.
They're
yeah.
a great band. Listen, the Foo Fighters are a great band. And RIP to Taylor Hawkins. But he insinuated and basically said, at least we play live, referring to his band and saying that Taylor and subsequently her band does not play live. Now, I've been to the Eras Tour. I've seen the show. I've seen the musicians. I've seen them play. I've seen her sing. Now, granted, I've only seen it once. But from everything that I've seen, Taylor's band plays live. Her drummers are drumming. Her guitarists are playing. Everybody is playing live. And from what I saw at the tour, Taylor, for at least 95% of the show, if not more, is singing into an active microphone that is on. So I found
And playing live piano and live
playing,
guitar.
And playing live piano and guitar. There are maybe a few moments, couple of the songs where her guitar is kind of more just a prop than anything, but she's still playing. She still has to play it, even if it's not the loudest. Even if her band's kind
even
of
if it's not the primary,
even if it's not the primary
band,
instrument,
yeah.
She still has
but
to play it.
There are multiple moments in the show where she is the primary or only instrumentalist,
yes.
accompanying herself.
And
you know, deep in succession, you can't deny.
Champagne problems. She's playing
the surprise
yep.
songs.
Surprise songs. All Too Well.
Yep.
She is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't listen. There are plenty of angles that you can criticize Taylor Swift for, and. Now, apparently, just to get into it a little bit, apparently there was an issue with Dave Grohl's daughter, where Dave Grohl's daughter made some comments about Taylor Swift's private jet usage, which is a totally, honestly, in my opinion, a somewhat fair criticism to make. And then, apparently, of course, people online went after Dave Grohl's daughter. Perhaps this was some sort of retribution to that. Perhaps this was kind of a dig related to that. But why are you not attacking her on that merit? Why are you trying to attack her and her band on the music she plays? What is the significance
of that? I personally found it to be in pretty poor taste from one musician to another to criticize the musical and performance integrity of another artist, especially because we know that they've had a relationship as musicians in the past. I think, you know, if you want to criticize her personal activities, that's fine, you know, but I don't think that it was respectful or in good faith to criticize her musical, you know, integrity. I think that was dubious.
You have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts to that.
We'll try to keep it condensed.
I think, yeah, like, I agree with Annie that I think it was in poor taste, and I just thought it was a very weird angle to take, because number one, I think Taylor is a really great vocalist, and I've always been a little bit annoyed with the whole Twitter sphere trying to, like, break down their arguments with how she's not, and I think it's especially relevant given how I think in the Speak Now Taylor's Version prologue she wrote about, like, wanting to improve her vocals and that kind of thing. And, like, how the criticism hurt her. And I think she does a really fantastic job, and she sounds amazing.
She
like,
sounds
especially
great.
In the, like sort of parts where she's, like, the sole instrumentalist, and you can really hear her vocals, like, her surprise song. She just sounds phenomenal. And I think it's kind of, yeah, ridiculous to accuse her of just lip-syncing, because number one, like, when I went to Liverpool, right, there were, like, at least 4 or 5 moments during the show where she pointed out someone in the audience that needed help, and she did that during, like, many different numbers, including ones where she was, like, very involved, like, during the midnight set as well. And I'm like, how is she lip-syncing if we can, like, fully audibly hear all of that in the middle of the song? Like, how is that?
There are a lot of people right now who are trying to bring up this angle of Taylor lip-syncing.
Right.
And the only possible thing that I will say maybe could be considered lip syncing is certain moments where maybe they turn her volume down a little bit so that she can get a break and bring up the backup singers. Which is very normal.
And people also
that
forget.
That is completely
totally normal.
And normal.
Yeah.
That is audio engineering 101.
The requirements of doing a 3.5-hour huge show with dancing and screens and choreography and sets is different than the band comes out on the stage,
Britney
plays
Spears.
A bunch of songs,
this
is
and
not,
leaves.
This
you know,
is,
like
no dig at Britney, but this is not Britney Spears. You know, Britney Spears obviously was accused of lip syncing a long time ago, but she actually was. And I like Britney; I'm a fan. You know, Michael Jackson for a decade plus. Did not sing live. He danced live, which was impressive, but he did not sing live. And, you don't see anybody really complaining about that, do you? No.
No, I think that she is undeniably, you know, doing an incredible feat as a musician.
Yeah.
And I think that she's the most visible and one of the hardest working, undeniably, female musicians as well. And I think for a long-established, successful male artist to criticize, you know,
that's,
her quality as a musician is
and you kind of hit the nail on the head, and I'll end on this. I don't hate Dave Grohl. I admire Dave Grohl very much, and I like the Foo Fighters. And I think that he's a very well-respected musician in the industry, probably one of the last big rock guys to really have an impact on the music industry. And it's kind of, it's a little shameful, honestly, and I think he should have at the very least come from a different, more merit-based angle. I think that, again...
And I don't think if he was going to do it on stage that was ever going to be the case.
Exactly.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? All that controversy aside, Taylor's killing it as usual.
Yeah.
We're always lucky enough to see the show.
Rep is coming, guys.
Rep is coming. We'll be right at the forefront of it. We'll make sure that our takes are heard.
It will be a red alert. We will be on.
We'll be on.
It will be an emergency pod. It will be an emergency meeting.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for everybody today.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.